We're back.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode. It's not an episode. What am I saying? Not really.
Another chapter.
Another
podcast.
I'm tired, man. Don't try to hide, 'cause I'm gonna haunt you like an animal. Welcome back, everybody, to the Evolution Podcast. My name is Mickey, and today with me, I have Law Laxina back again.
Hello.
For what it's worth, this is kind of off the cuff. I thought at some point we might do this, but this was kind of like we were sitting around. We were like, we're talking about interesting stuff, so we should like just record it.
Why aren't we recording this? This
is So here we are once again. So all you guys fans of Law, he's back! Yay!
Sports.
I feel like there's like an applause thing here, but I'm not gonna touch it.
Snaps.
So I'm not sure when this will air. I'm not sure how much of the V12 we can get into, depending.
Right.
So the V12 is probably going live mid-April, and
we could talk about it right now, and then just
wait,
save it for eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Okay. I mean, obviously, like it's on our minds, the V12.
Yeah.
So today we were riding around filming one of the many ridiculous videos I made about the V12 because I'm an idiot. I
mean, it was a good time.
Well, it was a good
for
time
the most part.
And an interesting time. It was kind of epic in like the worst way.
Yeah. We ended up having a little rim blow up on us. That was exciting.
Yeah. So we went to like the local skate park here, and then we were like, oh, let's try to do a couple little things here. We were just starting the day.
Yeah.
And I was like, we get to a point where it's like, is there anything else you want to do with this little dinky park? And he was like, I could jump those stairs.
Did it last time on the RS. And it was perfectly fine.
Yeah, so
why not do it again?
I was like, we don't need to. We got a lot of other stuff to do. And he was like, no, it's fine. I can do it.
It's easy. We can get it done. And then
we were both kind of like not aggressive towards doing it or not doing it. We were just going,
let's see what happens. Let's go.
Anyway, so we did it. And as soon as he landed it, I have it on film. I mean, you've probably seen the video by now, but as soon as you landed it, I knew.
Yeah, you could hear that rim.
Thunk.
You hear that rim. That 16-inch rim versus the 18, huge difference.
Yeah, it's weird. It bent pretty significantly, and then we brought it back here and brought it to the wood shop, and we tried to bend it back. It was going pretty good.
We tapped one side. One side with a mallet.
Yeah.
It was perfect. So normally you end up doing that, and there's usually no issue. We should have probably hit it with a heat gun prior to that.
Yeah, we were cold hitting it.
Yeah, we were hitting it cold, and then we were using a block to pretty much use as like a little chisel, or not chisel, but at least some kind of peen to knock it in place wherever we wanted. Ended up knocking one part of the rim a little bit too hard, too early, and then that one ended up splitting it right down.
Bad
day. We threw some gaff tape on it. After the gaff tape, then we just pumped it up and see what would happen. Mickey rode it for maybe 2-3 feet, and you got it like maybe almost halfway through the little hull, and then just blew.
It was kind of scary. I've never been on a tire that blew out.
Yeah, you had a nice popping noise, and then after that, you hear the air just spinning out from the inner tube.
Yeah. I think it actually was okay, but I think a piece of it like went backwards and lodged itself.
Yeah, I think what happened was with the high PSI on top of the rim being damaged, it might have been a split down the that edge of the rim on the inner edge that we didn't see. Because you can't always see those little cracks that you end up making from impact.
It was a pretty epic one. I think I'm going to move this closer to you a little
bit. Sure, buddy.
I think it's, I've seen a lot of images online. I've never been in person and hadn't seen one crack like that. But that, I've never seen. Actually, you know what? I take it back.
Yeah.
I think when Zen was, recently he was in the desert somewhere and he had a Sherman or something like that.
I think he was with Tarzan. Watch his stuff.
I think he was with my buddy Tarzan. Tarzan, one of them.
Was he was in town or in Vegas?
Okay,
I remember that.
Well, he looked like he was in like the Wile E. Coyote films, so
yeah.
I'm sure he was close to you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think that's the only time I've seen that whole like. So the side of it just blew off.
Yeah, the guy, he ends up riding like 20 psi, and then riding 20 psi is a horrible idea. Don't do it. unless you really are not going to be doing anything interesting on your wheel. And if you,
I don't care how much you think your tire's bouncy. That's a bad idea.
It's not good.
Cause only Z10 is the only one. Yeah. I feel like people could get away with that.
While you're doing that also, like if you're riding a higher speed with a low PSI tire, if you do any wobbling, you have a very high likelihood of destroying the Schrader valve, where the Schrader ends up like wiggling around and then eventually tears at the inner tube. And then that ends up just making homing like all more flats than you need. It's
funny because I reached out to Jason and I was like, hey, Law's coming into town to shoot this episode with me, to do a thing of all about the, technical riding abilities of this wheel. And can you send me some extra inner tubes? Because I feel like we might motors. Get a little wild. I did not.
Motors and rims next time.
Yeah, I don't think he could have done that. for sure. Particularly.
Definitely not.
Considering the wheel's not out yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then I was like, you know what? I mean, well, we have no choice, right? Like, I couldn't just be like, okay, well, screw it. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to salvage this, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, again, if you've seen the video, we show you kind of what happened, and then we just go cruising, and we meet up with my buddy Francisco. I don't know if he kind of shows up in the footage, but he was riding around with us, and then we went to Central Park, and
he'll probably pop up.
Yeah, hit some trails and things, and then, yeah, I mean, the biggest, right, like the biggest problem with the V12 as of right now, which, again, they might fix... I think it's likely I'll put it this way. I think it's likely batch two, they would consider it. They're, as of today, they are too geared up for batch one. Like, they are overly ready. So I was like, there's no way they're changing the motor. But I think that's the thing we agree. Like, the motor should be a little bit better. Like,
it's nice. It's wound for speed. But overall,
is there a better speed motor they could have?
I mean, if you want, you could just throw an actual 2500 in there. And then just go from there.
Like the RS is a 25 speed.
That one's, it's supposed to be 26. It's probably a 25. And then, if you use the RS motor, it's going to work beautifully.
Right. Yeah, because it just, maybe we're too crazy. I don't know.
Maybe. No, I wouldn't even say that. Just because average rider who's going to be pushing those speeds that they're promoting is inevitably going to end up dealing with having to brake at a higher speed. And would hate to see them having that issue where it's not enough power to slow down to avoid said situation.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I think that the acceleration curve on it is a bit different than like a Gateway, right? So I think they make you work really hard at the topmost part so you don't slam into things accelerating. Mm-hmm. But yeah, braking. That wheel's got a lot of... customization options to really soften out some of that stuff.
Yeah, again, it's like I feel like we're having to work harder because of that lack of torque and having to really feather it and make sure that we're not going to kill ourselves and cut out.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, my Nikola Plus I have taken to about 40, tapped it quite a few times, different places. Yeah. But on that wheel, it's more like a, let me just hit a number sort of thing. I'm not like holding 40.
Right.
So I can't really compare exactly like how it would handle a high speed
in the
brake.
Same.
Yeah. But I do think like the soft mode on my Nikola is like braking. I'm not worried about like wobbling out.
Right. Yeah. Because the Nikola is so stable. And then on top of that, you're not running the pad setup. You're using the motorcycle tank grip.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, that's great. It does its job and it doesn't force you to overpower the wheel. It keeps you from overpowering.
I think you ruined me.
You think so?
In the sense of like when we were discussing over like the last 6 months or whatever, the best way to get the most out of the wheel, it was like, you know, put your pads centered.
Yeah.
You know, get
as your, far as the braking pads for braking.
Right. Get your foot like just like hooked up underneath that front part of the Clark pad and crank. Yeah. Forward that way.
Jump pads, huge difference.
A lot of people, which is not wrong, they lean into those pads.
Right.
Personally, like, I mean, we rode up with my Sherman today as well. Like, I have that so wide because I don't actually need it to accelerate on the Sherman.
Right.
Like, I know how to make it work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could get more. It's already like the king of acceleration once you're above 20. So it's like.
Yeah, after 20, it's a good time.
Like, it's, it's the opposite of a Gateway. But anyways, I like to just like use the brake more than anything, just like lean back on the Clark pads. So
for sure,
I don't really like I'm not like a hardcore, I need to be locked in pad kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see how my pad setup is. It's reasonably minimalistic where I can be snug as much as I want, but at the same time, I have that freedom to potentially escape and just see my foot move around or whatever. It's not full lock in as if I'm doing like muddy off road or any serious jumps. But
right. Yeah,
it's enough for that all around experience, but you have enough detail to wedge in, or you have enough of a wedge to like really get in there and know exactly where your wheel's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think what'll be interesting, you know, the internet always reads things differently than I hope they do.
Yeah.
But I think hopefully people can see the reason why I bring someone like Law out for the video is because I think that like there's a lot of value in the diversity of riders.
It's so much fun seeing people coming from different regions and just getting together to ride.
Yeah, like, you know, there are people in Southern California who ride a little bit differently as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not as interested in those riders.
Just kidding. No, they're great people. I love these guys.
No, there's some people I'm really tight with out there. But I think it's hopefully it reads as like, hey, here's like Law, who's a bit of a psychopath in the best way, as far as acceleration
it's within
goes.
A reason.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know, like mid to upper level as far as like riding prowess goes.
Mm.
I've been riding for a long time, but I think it'll be helpful for people to see just a little bit of the difference.
Yeah, I love just the little details that you really get to pull out of the wheel and what you can make happen. I don't think there's that many. I feel like I'm one of the only people who are like such a stickler for like the wheels dipping on turns.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, a lot of people
the
are.
The rest of us accept it.
Yeah, it's acceptance. But at the same time, if it's something that's a software issue, why not tune it out? Especially in
development. But isn't it like they can't? If you're, for example, to my understanding, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So, is when you do a softer mode, so a medium or a soft mode situation.
Yeah, the soft mode is kind of inevitable.
Right, you're gonna have it.
Yeah, I think they just need, rather than having like three modes, the soft, medium, hard. I think they should have extra soft, and the soft, medium, and then hard, and then real hard.
Well, this is what's genius about the V12.
V12 is nice in that way.
It's almost like overdone. I keep saying that about this.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of overdone.
There's a little bit of redundancy, but it's pretty cool still.
Yeah. So you have like the base. So to run through it, if you guys didn't watch any of the videos and you're not like watching the YouTube channel, InMotion has a new wheel out called the V12. If you didn't know, and you know InMotion's style of how they handle ride modes. You know, Gateway is like hard, medium, and soft, and then Kingsong has a weird name structure like experienced, intermediate, and like beginner.
Right.
Weird. Which actually that one throws everybody off. They're like, well,
right.
I just bought this wheel, but I'm not like a beginner. I don't understand. anyways, so there's levels of hardness and softness as far as how the motor responds to what you put into it.
Mm.
Now the V12, you have what their whole thing is like commuting mode and then off-road mode. Bizarre naming choice, I guess. But like one is like hard and one is like kind of like a medium, yeah. I guess.
The squishy.
The commuting is like medium-ish, but on top of that you have what they call pedal sensitivity, and that's where it really gets interesting, because then you have like a slider from 0 to 100 of how to like dial in how much softer it gets from there. So as a reference, off-road mode at 100 sensitivity, that's just straight hard mode. But if you drop down that pedal sensitivity to whatever, I mean, like I think I was riding like 50 or something like that, it really softens out. It makes the wheel sort of like dip with you or forward and back. So you can get silly with it. I don't try it. I've done it, but I put it on commuting mode, 0 on the pedals, and it's like, whoop,
just flops.
You're like Gumby. You just fall over.
It makes the motor pretend it's maybe like an 800 watt motor.
Oh,
if that,
even then it's like you would have broke the 800 before.
Oh, for
then.
Sure. It'd be gone.
But then the last, or I guess next big option they have offered and introduced to everybody is I call it the split ride mode, but I think they're calling it the acceleration and braking sensitivity.
Yeah, like, it's just creating even more detail within that mode.
Right. So think of it like if any of you edit photos or video and you know what curves are when you're editing photos, it's like you can really dial in the curve and then really taper off the curve, you know, like to really dial it into the nth degree. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you get there. So that pedal sensitivity is softening out that line, so to speak. And then the split ride modes really curve it off, and just that the toe is really nice. But
yeah, cause it really is just creating expo, the same with like RC cars, drones. That same stick, that same stick thing. Expo, yeah.
Yeah, I remember on my drone, you can like mess with the axes mm-hmm. and pick how it responds.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, that's, to me, that is one of the reasons why when we created the first like commercial for it, it was like, we've never seen a wheel like this. We're all used to three ride modes, right? Yep. That's it. And even like I said, prior in-motion wheels, there was just the two that they offered. And there was a bit of that play with the pedal sensitivity, but now we have basically full customization.
I love that there's a lot of companies are really starting to get into the whole angle, side angle cutout.
That's thing. Everyone now is making it like you can go deeper into your
car.
As deep
as like 70 degrees, I've seen.
Yeah, in my polo video, I showcased this. I was doing like tight donuts in the middle of the polo court.
Huge difference.
And then I like got off and I was like, okay, look, let's watch it. And I just went down and down and down and down until it was like, be careful, be careful. all you in motion riders will know what that is.
I'm loving that. And then just the way the V12 ends up scraping against the ground with pedal, I love it.
Tell us why. Why? What do you love about... why would you love scrape?
I love scraping safely. So I don't entirely love scraping, per se.
Yeah.
But so when you're scraping, you're riding, you go on a turn, and you end up on a bank because you're in softer modes or whatever, the wheel ends up being turned or tuned. Say this is your pedal, and you got your foot here. If you're scratching on the toe end, then you're not going to be able to slide out of it and continue doing the turn and power through.
Right.
You end up having to slow down and readjust to make sure that you don't eat it.
Right.
So rather, because if you hit the ground on it, then you're going to end up falling off the pedal because you're going to bump off. Whereas if you have your wheel cranked up slightly back, or if your wheel is tuned perfectly and you're at the center point, you're going to be able to glide along the ground and be able to slide it much easier.
I mean, when we were riding the Sherman today, when we took the walk bike path on the way up to the Manhattan Bridge, there, I'm sure you felt like that's where it really shined.
Yeah.
And I was like having to chill out.
Right.
I have the front right corner because it's a right-hand turn.
You're dipping down.
It's dipped right there. So I'm like being cautious about it. Yeah.
And then you imagine you're trying to even power through that corner, then you're even more so going to touch the ground. You saw me when we were early on when we were riding with the V12, I'm just scraping against the ground just for fun. But with that, it's the full amount of confidence knowing that I'm not going to die if my foot ends up scraping a ground.
Right, because your toe is not hitting.
Exactly. So it gets to glide rather than just snag.
Yeah, it's these little details are the things that I think a lot of people are going to be hungry for. I think
it's just a matter of time.
I mean, even us just talking about it, I mean, like there's a lot of new riders that like watch my channel and listen to this and stuff, and it's they don't know anything about this, which is fine, but it's cool. They're going to be like, oh, I'm so glad you guys talked about that.
If you want to find out and understand what we're talking about in terms of this pedal dip, it's not necessarily pedal dip riding a straight line. Riding a straight line, that you can have whatever you want and feel as comfortable as you want. But when you're on a turn, say like take a car and then just make circles around that car, you'll notice whether or not your wheel's going to be dipping down or staying level. Generally, the MSP torque and now the V12 are the most locked in wheels for that experience.
Right.
V11, kind of, you get a little bit of dip, but it's not anything too bad. Gotway has dropped it with the RS in terms of that pedal dip. You're just dipping down
super
and then
dip.
I can't comfortably like make that powerful.
I mean, especially in your terrain.
Yeah.
Like you're not just on a street.
Right. Yeah. Even if I'm just doing a parking lot, it makes it
bad day.
Yeah, bad day.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, these are the things that when you first get into this, you're so excited to ride and like cruise and you learn just how to carve deep, but you never think about these little details.
You see past everything because there's a whole experience in front of you.
Yeah, I think like eventually a part of you starts to go like, I feel uncomfortable when I make tight turns, but you don't know like what's going on, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's fantastic for that. And especially if like on the V12 that any of the tires that they're going to probably ship with, which is like...
I hope not the CST.
They won't.
Better not. Okay.
No. As I've said in my videos, I mean, by now, I guess maybe we're idiots and we're wrong.
Yeah, we'll find out when it happens.
I'm very confident they will not use the CST, but look, they're in motion. I don't run them. So at the last minute, they can go, well, we got a good deal on the CST, so screw you.
Liam, please help us.
Yeah, don't ship with that awful tire. And if you guys know someone who likes to, who can take a hit out on somebody, I would like to get a hit taken out on the guy who invented the CST tire. Because it must be hella cheap because every company tries to throw that on every wheel now. And I don't understand why.
If you
designed it
just a little bit different, if you expand, rather than having just the tiny strip, if they created the little flanges from that strip and really made those little, is it diamonds or
how do you explain it?
They're kind of diamond shape, but if those were a little bit wider and actually extended into the sides of the tire, it would be so much smoother.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like the 666 kind of does that.
Yeah.
Crosses over.
Right.
But that's, I just love the roundness of that tire.
Yeah. That's another reason why I like the Chaoyang, the original MSX tire.
Oh, the Nike tire? Thing.
Yeah, it drifts nice. And then on top of that, as far as like off-road tires go, 262, I hate it because of that same reason. So you end up having the knobs go in one direction, and then you have two other sets of knobs alongside each other. So then it's either likes to go straight or likes to be on a 45-degree angle. Those in-betweens, it doesn't really like to sit there.
Huh.
Yeah, you'll end up noticing
if you... It's a bit like a Sherman tire.
Or that's what I'm saying. That's a 262.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you end up taking the 244 or the 241, the 241 feels nice because it's like a... I don't even know. It's kind of like a honeycomb pattern on the tires or the way that it's... it crosses over more even, so then it loves being on an edge.
Gotcha.
In comparison, yeah.
Yeah, the Sherman tire is more like you're here or you're here. In those spots, you're good. Mm-hmm. But in between, you have to do like a move.
Exactly.
To go there or come back.
Right.
Which I enjoy, actually. I mean, like,
it's
it
fun.
Depends on what you're doing, right? Yeah. Like you said, off-road, it's kind of sucky. Yeah.
Even on street, it's the two. Try the 241 if you ever find one.
I don't know. I like the tire on the
I got trim. You. Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Look, it's I've available. Done a tire change or an inner tube change on the Sherman. That's like...
It's miserable.
Well, I think the V12 is probably worse.
No.
I think
the V12 is tedious, but it's straightforward. The Sherman one, it's straightforward up until the point where you have to pull off the roll bar.
Oh, right. I forgot
about
that.
Bottom portion of the roll bar, miserable. If you ever take apart your Sherman, use a block to help kind of like knock it off.
Yes.
And then if not that, or after you get it off, take a file and round that little edge off, create a little bevel so it slides back into the hole better, because otherwise it's going to get snagged.
Yeah, it's annoying, that's for sure. I forgot about that. I think I was like stuck for like half an hour trying to get one of the sides out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would like a dope was like, oh, I should use a piece of plywood.
Yeah, we tried tapping it with a piece of wood, and then after that, we like wedged a towel into there and then started applying pressure on the towel while we're like hitting it with wood and just trying to flex it back and forth out.
Ugh.
It was ridiculous.
I remember the last time you were on, the most of the comments, people were like, I wish I could have seen the pad situation that Law was rocking and sort of discussing.
In terms of, or when was this?
You were the first podcast. So
true.
Way back when we were in the other room. So
there's
a
tutorial
like,
now.
They were like, I want to see it. But I figure I would just maybe step over and grab one.
Yeah,
go so for we it. Could show them, you know, just in case.
Definitely. I did a little new thing because I was bored and I wanted to see how it felt.
Okay. I'll be the Vanna White.
Yeah, right. All right.
Start flipping valves. I'm going to do it like this. I'll ask you about this and what your thought
process. Okay.
So it looks like we've got a base layer of your puzzle mat thing.
Yeah. Don't look at this side. It's not pretty. I used it with like a really gnarly,
really bad,
really gnarly box cutter.
This one looks nice here. But anyways,
however.
So you got your base one, which is a big square that you then cut out for your instep, right?
Yeah.
And then it looks like you've got just...
Or that one's not... Excuse me. We got
secondary
this.
Layer and then a third layer. So just three layers of it.
Yeah. So the power pad and brake pad, it's really just a two extra layers of foam that you end up throwing it on top. So you have the power pad, brake pad, and then you have the jump pad. The way I set the jump pad is for right on your instep, so pretty much right here.
I don't know if they can see your feet.
You won't be able to see my feet,
But I think we know what an instep is. So that goes right, if this is your foot here.
So your foot sitting here.
It goes right on top.
Right on top of that, because what happens is, along with when you're in the air, you'll be able to press your foot into the wedge and really get your foot guided into that specific position. When you are jumping, you can pull up on it, but at the same time, since it's a 45 degree angle, you would be able to slide out of it if need be, and just to step off and be free.
Because I use the Clark pads a lot, and I think that if you're someone who's really looking to have that super customized experience, the drawback to a Clark pad is it's just like basically flat, actually kind of bevels up and in, which is more so your pedals can be like set up when you're not using them. But this is a much better idea if you're serious about technical riding or jumping stuff.
Just being free. So if with Clark pads, it's nice to have that flat portion where you can really just not have to think about pinching the wheel as much as just pulling it up.
Right.
But at the same time, if you want the all-around experience, then wedge is the way to go.
And I would probably be willing to argue that Clark couldn't make decent wedges because they're just so unique to each person, right? Or no?
It depends. So you can end up having like a dialed kind of system where you'd be able to go around it and figure out what specific angle the shoe needs to be at. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the distance. But the distance can really be, that can be added on with either like little shims that would go underneath the Clark pad, the hook.
Yeah, the hook.
Yeah. But there's so much that you can end up doing.
Right.
What else is there? No. Yeah, normally I would have DKL grip right down the center and then right on this, riding up this little edge of the power pad and brake pad, because you get to really pinch the wheel and then push down
and
on it.
So on, I mean, I guess Clark has a bit less of a bevel, but they still have bevel. So right inside here, we can see that that Law has, instead of like a flat, so you're not just getting a 90 degree right here. There's a bevel here on the front. So this would be like your front and then your back pad. So when you brake, you'd be leaning against this. So this is a left pad, and this would be your acceleration. So this bevel here even more gives you that freeing ability. So you can use it and
You can slip. You can slip past the wheel, or past the pad.
Past the pad. That's it.
Yeah. Cause what happens is if you're going maybe like 2 miles an hour and you want to do like a quick 180, then you have to drift your knee past it. So you can really like get into the turn and then get it going. There's so much that you can do with little pad setups. I started doing the little divot right here. It's been done with a whole bunch of other people's pads, but I just started doing it because why not? That one's supposed to go right above your ankle, and then you can, it gives you that little extra point to really lift the wheel up. Whenever you guys are using these pads, try setting them low and see what happens. Cause when you're riding and trying to accelerate fast, you can take your instep and press it up against pretty much, if you have Nikola pedals, MSX pedals, something shorter on the front end, you'd be able to claw around that front edge of the pedal and then really like pinch up and force the wheel to twist forward with that jump pad and instep.
That's what got us in trouble with the V12.
Yeah, right. Overpowered.
I think, I don't know if you mentioned, but then you also do like a little wedgy thing behind your ankle.
Little wedge for the heel, because what happens is, or for any jump pad really, if your instep's going to be lifting up on the wheel, it ends up forcing your foot to slide back. So then you add either a little wedge or a little block behind your heel, and that'll keep that movement.
So I think the benefit to this is like you are super locked in, but not all at the same time. Yeah. Because of the bevels, you can easily slip out of it, which is something I think a lot of people who are a little afraid of, but maybe wanted to lean into this style of riding. So I think that's what really changes the game there. But like I said, Clark pads have a bit of a bevel. It's just not as much.
Yeah. Another thing to note is with that 45, along with slipping, is if you make your own pads, then that 45 makes a huge difference for if it's peeling or not. So this, I only used like tape and double-sided whatever. So if I apply pressure on this side, it'll peel. Whereas if I apply pressure on this side, it's going to be both going sideways and then down into the pad.
Right. So unlike then, if it was a 90.
Right. Yeah, so it keeps it from peeling and makes your life way easier in the long run.
I feel like when Mike Leahy made one of his people, they did a tutorial, right?
Seattle riders, they go block, full block.
Yeah. They made a tutorial about this on their channel.
Yeah, it's full lock in, but for their use, it makes sense. Just because you really have to really pull up on the wheel for how much air you're getting.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier today, the underside of those guys who are jumping and doing stuff that makes us amazed is the amount of wheels they are thrashing.
There's so many parts that end up breaking over time.
Is wild.
Pedals all day. You end up having to make sure you change the pedal axles, otherwise you end up getting a warped Gateway pedal or Gateway axle, and then those things are huge problem to tap out.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe it's been one or two, but I don't remember ever seeing any of those guys like showcase how they've royally wrecked. I think the one time I saw when like Mike ripped a pedal off on a landing, and I think that's about it. But yeah, like,
it was funny because I heard he cracked the pedal prior to that jump too.
Oh God.
Yeah, he's like committed to the game.
As here in New York, I saw it and I was just like, "Whoa, that's crazy!" But like, there's way more going on.
Exactly. There's so much more. Not standard riders do not have to worry about cracking their pedals.
No. Mm. That's he's going to the moon. I told him recently, I'm like, "You're like this close from doing a backflip on that thing."
Yeah, right. If only you could do a backflip. If you could like disengage. If you had like a little toggle in your hand, just to disengage the gyro. It hurts my brain to think
of what that would require.
Disengage gyro, and then as soon as you make the full flip, release the re-engage gyro, and then that would, I think that could be.
I guess
be,
it's like a lift sensor, right?
It would be lift sensor, but it would have to run at any speed, and then at the same time, you have to make sure that the wheel's rotating fast enough to you're be right, able to match right. your landing.
The any speed thing is important, I forgot
exactly.
about that.
Exactly, yeah. It'd be nuts having to do that. So it'd be like a cruise control button.
I'm
thinking way ahead.
You're a fighter jet pilot at that point, because imagine like you all right, so like to put yourself in one of those guys' mindset, you've got to A, start with just the balls to do it, okay? B, you have to get the right technique of when to like launch and pop up and lift off and not over torque. Then C, when you're in the air, you have to keep it level so you don't over rotate or under rotate. So when
cut off your burners,
yeah, essentially. And then, you know, next, then you have to land, we're at D, I believe. You got to land the thing appropriately and like, you know, do a good job of not breaking axle. But like on top of this idea, you would then have to also worry about doing a backflip,
mm-hmm.
timing the landing, but timing the whole like button. It just sounds.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it sounds.
It's not realistic. It probably will never happen. But if someone does it, I will gladly shake their hand.
Yeah, we'll call Red Bull to sponsor you right away.
That'd be beautiful.
I mean, like, we probably just gave them a great idea. Next thing you know, like, that's next YouTube video.
Yeah, I think, or if you had, like, a little cruise control button, depending on how fast you're going, then if you can cruise control, but at the same time have, like, a free gyro, then maybe you'd be able to crank up or crank a loop. But that's a whole bunch of theory. You'd have to really think about it and figure that out.
Well,
but I don't know.
Find a NASA friend or
we're just dreaming.
Tesla friend. So the V12, both you and I enjoy it. There are things about it that we think it falls short on. But you know, like I said, maybe by batch two, they can adjust that kind
it's
of
just
thing.
It's just the motor. That's it.
Yeah, that's. I think at the end of my video, that was like I was like, my biggest complaint is the motor. And for me, it's like, you were talking about this, and I was like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started to experience it, I was like, huh.
It's like, they can tune it out. They can tune it out. No, they can't. No, it's not happening. But
yeah, we're not sure what's going on there. Like, why a 2500 can't actually handle what we were putting it through.
I don't think it's a 25, but we'll see.
Yeah, we have a conspiracy theory that it's not really a 25.
I think it's a 22 at heart. I've taken
It could be when I spoke to Jason about it, like, it could be a quote-unquote 22, but the way Jason explained it,
the way
Jason from eWheels is like, you can draw whatever you want out of it, but there is some sort of cap somewhere. Like, it might be like, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 watts, but I'm a dunce when it comes to like nominal versus peak and all that stuff. I'm sure it's simple, I just haven't like sat down and looked at it yet, but basically, yeah, there's like whatever they want to draw, they can draw, is basically the way he explained it.
Even if they dropped it down to 40 top speed, I'd be more than happy if they just upped that torque a little bit, just even wound the motor a little different.
Yeah. Well, because even like for high speed, like it's a 16, so it's going to naturally be a little more torquey, right?
Yes.
So like, I feel like it needs to live up to the rotations that you're going to put it through.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that was the big problem with the 16X. It was, you know, underpowered because it was like 84 volt.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And then I loved that wheel, but I just remember being like, takeoff was like exciting. And then it was like, boom.
Oh, there's your wall.
You hit the wall. You know, you hit 31 miles an hour. That was it. So what's nice about this is you can blow through that up to like 40 or whatever. But like with this motor like that, once you become more aggressive, you feel it.
Yeah, it's once you start playing with pads and once you really start like really pulling onto the wheel and getting the most out of it. That's it. You start noticing those little details that you hate about every wheel. Then again, within these past two years of unicycle technology, we're going to get there where we don't have to complain about anything.
Yeah, I think it's rapid.
I think there's going to be a point where it's just form factor, which wheel feels the best in terms of shape.
What happens if people catch on to what is the optimal shape, the trapezoid?
Good. If they do that.
But I mean, I'm curious like how that will shrink the diversity in design.
Yeah, I don't think these guys understand what we're talking about trapezoid. So while we were eating, I ended up mentioning rather than making a rectangle, if you had a slight trapezoid where it's a little bit wider at the base and then a little bit skinnier at the top. In doing so, you'd be able to fit more battery down at the base and then have a lower center of gravity. And at the same time, what happens is when you're standing, you end up having like a little triangulated stance. Having a triangulated stance, you end up having your feet outwards. And that's another thing with pedal angle. I'll go over that in a bit. But so you want to have your feet wider and then have the wheel really conform to your legs, like the Nikola. I hate the Nikola because of the way it's shaped. It's just a giant egg.
Right, the Nikola doesn't do this.
Yeah, it doesn't at all. So with it being too chunky up top, you end up having to have like bow legs while you're riding, and then long term it hurts, especially with like the stock pads. Gotway, please change your stock pads for the Nikola. All you have to do is just ship them out with MSX pads and you'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Another thing that you end up having to do with the Nikola, because it's so wide up top, you have to shim the base. What I've done more exercise mat, I've got so much exercise mat back home. You end up shimming out the base so then you can get your feet still being able to hug the wheel while at the same time not having to bow your legs out for no reason.
Yeah, because that's like the weird part about the Nikola. Everyone loves it because of its durability and like it's pretty high speed.
It's so durable.
But like, you know, it starts tapered at the top and then gets a bit straight and then tapers back down inward.
Yeah.
Which is like, I get design-wise, but like your legs don't go back down inward. So it actually would work and has worked on other wheels if it wasn't so chunky.
Yeah.
So the chunk actually sticks past the inner pedal. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If the chunk stayed in, like if this is the pedal here, if the chunk, the widest point stopped before that, it actually wouldn't be too bad. It
wouldn't be bad.
But it like goes past, so your leg is pushed out. So either when you, like the first time I ever rode the Nikola, you put your feet down, mm-hmm. you know, a quarter of your foot is off the side.
Right.
And you're like, what is this? So like you have to learn. That happens when you have pads on it.
Yeah.
So that's why I figured out how to. I'm like, you know what? I need like, can I have traction but no pad? Mm-hmm. So I got those motorcycle tank friction pad things. That like nothing.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. Though.
It's sort of like DKL but like better. Yeah. Like they're much more durable.
Right. I think it's the same durability. Because I don't know. Yeah, over time.
Well, in the sense that like it's a harder compound.
Yeah.
When you drop your wheel and like wreck it and stuff like that, like what's on the Nikola over there is original.
Right. Yeah. I'll do a side by side one of these days.
That'd be nice. I just think it would like the DKL might rip off sooner,
mm-hmm.
but other than that, it's a good deal.
Yeah. Another thing that what I wanted to mention was the, pedal angles. So when you have that wider stance and then you have flat pedals, it's idiotic because your feet inherently slide. If you have low friction, if you're not relying on a grip tape that much, you should have grip tape on any wheel, but if you don't have that grip tape, then you want your wheel to still be ergonomic when you're standing on it. So if it's flat, then your feet will inherently slide because you're constantly pushing your feet out. It's like if you have socks and you're standing on the ground or standing on like a wooden floor, you have a higher likelihood of sliding off to the side. Whereas if you had
totally
angles off the side, then you wouldn't have to you wouldn't have to struggle and fight to stay in. And then that would put way less stress on your legs.
I mean, it all comes back to skiing eventually.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
right. Like if you were, not that this is the best way to stop, but you know, they teach you that like A-frame stop situation where you kind of dig in.
French fry pizza.
Yeah. Like that it's that. But I mean, obviously when you're turning and skiing, you're digging the mm-hmm. side into the snow as well.
Yeah, so then if you have that little bit slightly steeper angle that ends up matching where your crotch would be, that one would be more than optimal.
Yeah, I think a trapezoid must be in the works. Somebody will do it eventually. Yeah. And now we have, not to be weird about like time and events, but by the time this airs, maybe it will be out. Maybe. But the King Song wheel.
That's exciting.
That is rumored to be 100 volt as well.
Yeah.
And this is as leak as I'm going to get. Leak, here's my leak. I believe it's going to be a 100 volt version of the 18XL, essentially, is like the dumbed down way to put it, which all of you out there probably know was like one of the most reliable wheels of all time.
It's so good. It's one of those like really durable wheels that you don't have to worry about the shell getting destroyed because it can just roll. The
84 volt portion of that, it was the biggest issue.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest limiters for sure. I got a buddy over in Vegas that rides with us a lot. Before he ended up getting a Sherman, he had the 18XL, and he would constantly overheat that thing just because
he didn't
have enough. Yeah, overheat, and then on top of that, he would end up not having enough power to get up hills and all that.
I was not as aggressive of a rider when I had mine, so that never happened to me. So I think I would have imagined at the time a lot of sort of like, I don't know, like newer riders were buying that wheel.
Yeah.
Now it's been out long enough that different kinds of people buy it. But yeah, I think that 100 volt version of that could be really cool. I think I'd be curious to know if they'll stick with that same design scheme, that like round.
I partly hope they are, because it was proven to be so durable. I think what the problem is with MSX shells and the now the EX and RS shells, because it has that front corner, you end up taking so much impact at that front.
Right.
Where I think what optimal setup would be. Would be if it was kind of flanged or rounded off more in the front end, so then it would allow for the wheel to roll initially and reduce that initial impact.
Right, yeah. And I wonder, I have some friends here who ride who, for whatever reason, keep breaking their inner shells on their wheels. And it raises the question, do you think it would be better in the future if we had, like, metal inner shells?
No. Rather than the metal inner shell, I think plastic's fine, but... What I would want to see...
Like, Dot always breaks his inner shells.
Oh, yeah?
I mean,
then again, it's like with a monster, and what else is he riding?
He broke his Sherman inner shell. And he's like the most docile rider in New York City.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's like super chill.
Maybe like just buy material inner shell would make sense. Because I don't think
I mean, he weighs more than like you and I do.
I don't think it's necessary to add too much weight to the inner shell, but at least for the... Over where the pedal hangers are connecting to the shell... Yes, for sure.
That's often where the cracks have
metal. Merlin, before, he's not making them anymore, but he, for like the MSP line, he ended up making these really nice shims that would go underneath where the screws go for the pedal hangers that would kind of like clamp between the shell and the or clamp the shell down between the motor and the hangers, and doing that would reduce the spread of impact from all the screws.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty handy with that stuff, huh?
Dude's awesome. I love you. But
he was the only guy like trying to like help people with their RS bearing situation.
Yeah.
I think the rumor was that like he was drilling the hole. I mean, that's not the rumor.
Yeah.
He was drilling the holes out to allow water to escape. But the rumor is that Gotway, either he showed them or they found out or whatever, and they were like, oh, that's cool. We'll do the same.
Is Gotway doing that now?
No, but the stupidity of the fact that he was doing a Band-Aid thing to help his friends.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, we'll do the same. No, Gotway, how about you redesign the hub situation? Like, what? Imagine a professional manufacturer in the U.S. doing that. Like, oh, we saw that a fan was drilling holes in our product to make it better, so we'll just do that.
Sometimes it works. I mean, you look at different sports and how they end up adapting. It's like some people end up throwing mud onto the baseballs and then...
No, I think that there's a professional way to go about it.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Like, definitely. I think if they redesigned the hubs to have a built-in hole, but I know Gotway, and what they literally meant is we were going to just have some poor old lady on the factory floor start drilling holes in all our hubs. Like, what?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Do you know how many Tesla owners are excited about the V12? Like, when I told some of them, asked me, they were like, oh, how high are the pedals? I'm like, they're crazy high, dude. So if you're looking for that super carvability, like, this thing has it.
I think a lot of Tesla owners will end up translating, it's going to be sloppy for them because they're not used to the lack of stability that you end up getting with a Tesla, but at the same time, once it clicks, then they will never go back to low hangers unless they end up just swapping down to the lowest setting, but even so, that's still higher.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Tesla's done. Like, that's such an outdated, like, weird wheel to me. Like, even at the time, like, Tishon.
It was so blocky.
yeah, to it was the most uncomfortable wheel to ride. And then like, it's super. So I was going to say too, like it was super lightweight, which was semi-unsafe for that wheel.
Yeah.
If you hit like a pothole here in the city, you're going to go flying.
Yeah. That was another thing. Like with that shape, it's just a big block. And then rather than that, if they spaced out the bottom to make it slightly wider, which wouldn't be much of an issue because it's already chunky enough of a wheel, or it's a big block of a wheel. If you triangulated it, then it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
For its style.
And I was gonna say also the Tesla owners, if they have to carry their Tesla somewhere, like upstairs or something, the V12 will be a bit of a wake up call.
Oh, for sure.
It's like,
welcome to the big wheels.
I've been like carrying heavy wheels for like the last 6 months up and down my stairs. So like at first I didn't like think about it. Like people were like, is it really 63 pounds? And I was like, you know, I don't really know. Like I've been carrying the Sherman a lot, and I had to carry the Monster Pro and the EX, the EXN. That it didn't hit me that, oh, I guess it kind of is a heavier wheel.
Not everybody's used to the chunkers. Like usually how I grab, say, Gotways, I'll grab the handle, and then the other hand I'll end up putting on the front side of the pedal hanger, or not the, or the pedal itself, so then you can really lift it up.
Right.
And not put too much stress on like one side of your body.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm a dope, and I have like a lot of muscle in this shoulder.
Yeah,
this shoulder is lacking.
Your shoulder is abs, nice six pack.
I do think that maybe this shoulder is beefier, and like my chest here is probably beefier. This side is just like dead. It's like, Mickey, what are you doing to us? It's like carry my wheels like this.
Lift wheels on both sides. Take turns.
You know, at the Sherman, you have to.
Yeah, right.
I saw somebody, one of David Jensen's little friends, was carrying a Sherman with one arm downstairs. I'm like, ugh, who does that?
I mean, if they're doing it comfortably and they're that swole, then have at it.
Yeah, that guy is not that swole. So I'm sure like secretly later he was like, that was a bad idea. But no, that you have to do both hands with that wheel. It's like a given.
I want to see more wheels that have like a little bit of a lip on the front. That would be great. Like say... I think it's counterintuitive with what I'm saying with having wheels that are more rounded off in the front to absorb that impact. But if you can have a wheel that had...
The V12 has that?
It has that lip.
So you kind of could... Like for carrying up steps?
I wouldn't want to trust the piece of rubber. It's a piece of rubber in the front.
Yeah, I don't really know yet how it's attached.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it. But yeah, again, if we had something like that where you can just grip it on that portion and really pull it up, that'd be nice.
Oh. Genius idea.
Yes.
The next, is it TP or whatever? Whatever the soft stuff Clark
what
makes.
I was thinking of for front pads was you take a pad and then you create a saddle horn. Like just a little nub on the front to really like pull, and then you can be able to, while you're riding seated, you'd be able to hold onto it or just pull it back and then have that little bit of
control.
This
is like another step towards clownhood.
Is it clownhood? I mean, it's more so like, you're creating a little room.
I'm always trying to stay as far away from that.
I know. My idea of it is that you're creating more of a horse.
No, I get what you're saying, but it's like, have you seen I'm sure you have the images of that guy who's got a Sherman and put like lights and spinning things on it and had a banana seat on top of his Sherman. It was like red. I saw it on Instagram. I was just like mortified. I'm like, guys, stop. Like, I get that we look nerdy enough, but you're making it worse.
Some people want it. I'm okay with it. It's everybody's got their own wheel. It's not the majority of everybody, but
I'm sure I'll get a lot of hate for that. But
they want to make it their own. I like. Recently, I've been liking a lot of people's how people are painting their Shermans and just repainting them. They take the inner shells off and then repaint whatever color, and then take outer shell, repaint it. Oh, something that I've noticed was it? I think in the Philippines. There's one EUC rider, they end up having like a, I couldn't tell in the picture what it was, like a lime green or like some kind of, or not lime green, but some kind of, it was like some kind of lighter pastel green.
Yeah, they had a bag on it too.
Maybe, I don't know, I think that's a different wheel, but this one ended up having like a brown bar tape on it and looked really clean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they took their original stock pads.
Kind of army-esque a little bit?
Kind of, yeah. But they took their stock pads, and then they took it to a leather worker, and then they got the pads leatherized. Ooh. It looked really nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. You could mono-customize makes those leather ones. But I think I've seen, even when you're talking about it, like, you can see the stitching maybe as well.
Maybe. I forget.
Yeah, that looks nice. But it's like... For me, that's like into like Rolex rider territory. It's beautiful, it looks great. Like leather the way makes sense. I ride, I don't want something too pretty to where if I fall, yeah. I'm like sad.
The leather makes sense though, because that'll at least take the abrasions.
So when I talked to this guy there's a guy in New Jersey, his name is Saul, and he makes a bunch of e-bike seats for the Onyx guys.
Okay.
And I asked him, I wanted him to redo the Brian Zoom wheel seat for me.
Yes.
And I was like, he's like, do you want leather or synthetic? And I was like, I think leather. And he was like, okay, are you going to be dropping your electric unicycle? I go, probably. He goes, then you want synthetic.
Really?
Yeah.
Synthetic is
He's like, the leather will get ruined fast. He's like, you need synthetic.
Ooh.
So interesting. I'm not an expert at that, at upholstery, but that was his recommendation.
Maybe it's more cost effective also. I couldn't tell
you. Well, duh. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
It's like a lot cheaper.
Yeah. That's cool.
But he uses like a pretty good foam that's got good density and squishiness all at the same time. So eventually I'll get back to it. I never got around to doing it. Mm. But, you know, I do think that the Zoom wheel seat is probably I think it's the best seat so far for the Sherman, but it lacks some refinement.
It depends on the kind of riding you're doing. If you're trying to do like a lot of carving and trying to like put the wheel on a bank, then that's where it doesn't shine. Take the seat off. But for those that want to do like a one and done, then a lot of people like that minimalistic stock seat that the Sherman has.
I can't keep that seat on all the time anyways.
No, it falls off all the time from what I've seen.
Mine doesn't. I don't know about other people, but essentially like he recommended I just do some electrical tape around the handles.
Oh, okay.
Which you probably see there.
Yeah.
And that makes it stick very well.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
the Zoom wheel Ryan one or his pad, it's really comfortable though. That is one thing.
The seat? I love
it. Yeah, the seat.
I disagree. I think it's like good.
Yeah.
I've sat on the Onyx guy seats with the stuff that Saul puts in and I was like, okay. Oh, I thought Brian's was good or great or whatever, but like theirs was next level. So that's why I was like, my eyes were opened.
I rode an Onyx in California a couple months back and I do love that seat.
Yeah. So Saul took that crap away that the Onyx uses and put a different thing in there.
Huh?
So the Onyx seat, you're correct, is nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But there's better.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. So these guys all take their stock Onyx seats to Saul.
Yeah.
I think it's called Saul's Upholstery in New Jersey. If anybody was looking, you can probably mail your junk and he'll do it maybe. But anyways, cool. So he puts this other foam in there and like does like the nice stitch work. Like if you guys know John Angel, who I had on the podcast, like his is the most famous Onyx ever photographed. It's always everywhere.
Yeah.
His is like this white cross stitching all over the seat. So that's like the level of detail he can give you if you're into it. But
nice.
More importantly, I'm concerned with the nice foam he's using.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rocket science. I could probably ask him what it is.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. I'd rather just take it to a guy who's professional at upholstery.
Definitely. It'd be really cool seeing what people do in the long run. What I'm looking forward to is people making custom outer shells. Like you get the model and
we've been talking about that. With everywhere with Chris
about
like doing that for the V12 or something.
That would be huge. The V12 outer shell is garbage in its current
state. No, it's not.
I mean, it's not bad, but at the same time, when you're looking at the stock pads that you have on it, you end up dealing with a whole bunch of holes within that top portion.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's complex. Like I said, they over-engineered it. Unlike the Sherman or the Gotway outer shell, it's serving a lot of purposes.
It does great.
Like it's giving some more robustness. Like at the bottom, it's like much thicker.
It's durable. The only thing, my only problem again is just that pad portion.
Oh, the thing at the top that comes off.
So you have the foam panel, or it's foam and plastic of a panel that you have to pull off just to get the wheel apart. And then on top of that, you end up dealing, if you don't want to use those stock pads, then you end up having to deal with a whole bunch of waffled holes.
Yeah. It's like, they were trying to, you know, it's design, right? They're trying to seamlessly hide those screws. So if you look at the side of the wheel, the V12 only showcases two screws, front and back in the center, and they're countersunk. So those are the only screws you see. So that was they were trying to, which I'm sure Steve Jobs or somebody would laugh and be like, well, why don't you just go the whole hog and figure out how to hide those?
Right.
But like clearly that was a design choice to which... Look, none of us care. Like, I don't care if I see some of the screws on that thing. when I'm flying past you at you know 35, 40 miles an hour on that
when
thing,
when you're moving, no one's gonna
cares?
Notice.
Yeah, who cares? But you know, the owner Charles, he's like obsessed with BMW and stuff, and like, you know, people know now that I was desperately trying to get the V12 renamed to the Bishop, and I still kind of call it that personally. But someone told me that like I would have had a better time if I just went and investigated like a name that BMW has used for any of their stuff in the past. They were like, because he's, you know, he loves BMW. So like, if you just were like, oh, I don't know what BMW names are, crap. I know there's like the M3 and stuff, but like,
yeah,
that's why we have V12 and that garbage. Mm. But like, if it was like the Tiger or whatever, I don't know, whatever. Like, and I was like, what's your name with the Tiger? He'd be like, oh yeah, the 1987 blah, blah, blah from BMW had that. So yes, let's do it.
Eventually we just start having air intakes just to end up, yeah, trying to mimic certain muscle cars. Yeah.
So some people have to, what do you think about this? Some people on the internet have been talking about, well, there's a lot of chatter around the V12. So I'm reading all these ridiculous ideas, but some of them are interesting. What do you think about water cooling on an electric unicycle?
Water cooling would be awesome, but at the same time, if it messes up, then good luck fixing it because nobody's going to know how to do that.
Yeah, because like when we like drop it and stuff.
We drop it
all the time. I have a water-cooled computer, and it's broke without being jostled.
I want to get the Gotway Extreme Bull, the K4.
Oh, the K4, yeah.
It looks so much fun, but it's water-cooled, and if that breaks, then I don't know how to fix it.
My thing is, the K4 looks dope.
It's
rumored to go 90 miles per hour.
Kilometers.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah.
People kept saying miles per hour.
Yeah, on paper it goes to maybe like about 60, 50, 60.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Relax, internet. But no, I think that like the problem I saw with it was, I think the stability might be a bit of an issue and the lack of suspension.
There's a little bit of suspension there. It's got some travel.
I want to see like serious shocks on that thing because you're so low to the ground and going so fast.
I think there's a Russian video that went over what it had.
I can't imagine what a rack looks like on that thing.
Oh, you'd get really hurt.
Like, I don't know, maybe it's better because it's lower to the ground, who knows.
The battery on that thing is so scary.
Oh,
it's,
is it?
It's a giant brick, like yay big.
Ugh, I'm just so over this like
made by Gotway
stupid battery stuff, man. It's like, it's not that hard to like do the right thing. Look, I've seen the inside of an Onyx, I've seen the inside of Cali batteries, some Cali e-boards. Heck, we've even seen, you know, may they rest in peace, the boosted batteries. Like, I mean, like,
how do those look? I haven't really ripped them all apart.
I mean, it's similar to the V12 battery situation.
Okay.
Except, and it's hot swappable to some extent.
Okay.
Unlike the V12, which, let's talk about that in a second, but they're talking about swappable battery situation.
I don't know about that.
We'll come back to that. But anyways, it's like, I'm really tired of, like, just the, like, blue shrink wrap, call it a day kind of junk. It's like...
Yeah. It's just, at this point, sketchy, especially with it knocking around as you're jumping and really just bumping into things.
Yeah, now we're seeing a lot of parity in the types of wheels and like the lines are blurring, which to me is like, okay, now is the time for the like less wowing innovation, right? The time for like the little things that like when you go to the car lot and they go, oh, well this one, the way that like the unlock thing moves up is cooler than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, that's a detail, like, who the hell cares?
I love what the last innovation that I've noticed in, like, fancier cars. My buddy's, his G-Wagon felt nice because whenever you're turning and then, like, the seat kind of, like, hugs you as you're turning.
Oh, weird.
It's a good feeling because when you're pivoting, you're about to slide off to the side where it's hugging you and holding you in place as you're doing it. It's like, okay, this is nice. This is a little hug from the car.
Someone was telling me that our batteries could be... screwed onto the, you know, Gotway batteries are just stuck onto the inside with double stick tape
and then a couple pieces of foam that help hold it in place.
So they could be screwed in with these bushings underneath, like between the screw and where it's ending.
That would be nice.
So that it takes a bit of impact. Like, I guess they make ones that are set for just that. Francisco was talking about it with me. So that would be nice to see. I mean, the InMotion V12 battery is the best battery out there as far as like safety and
the
way it's designed.
It's definitely the least concerning, that and the V11, but then the same thing pretty much in terms of that battery design.
But like, how are they going to do this like swappable? Like, to my knowledge, I've taken it apart many a time. Like, you still have to unplug a bunch of wires. Like, there's no, like, it's not hot swap. You know what I mean? You got to take a lot of screws out to get into that thing. So like,
it's effort. It's like maybe eight eight to 12 screws just to be able to take that battery panel out, which is also miserable with the tire swaps.
Yeah, you have to take the battery out.
Because there's not a large enough hole for the Hall sensor and the motor wires to feed through as you're pulling the motor out, you end up having to take off the battery panels.
It's not even like you could just make the hole bigger. It's like it goes here and has like a drop down and then over. So there's an L. Yeah. So even if it was a large hole, it's just being shoved down a channel that like they would have to make it a ramp, right? Because right now it's just like a 90 degree.
If they made that like a separate piece that you can pull out and then maybe split apart, that'd be great. Yeah. Because it would still have, if it's for waterproofing, then you would still have that like potential little gutter that you'd be able to hide water and keep it from splashing up, while at the same time be able to remove it and not need to take out the battery just to do a quick remove like the outer shells and then pull off the screws. That's it.
Yeah, I think that InMotion is sort of like doing a lot of those like little, like I like to say, unsexy upgrades and changes and integrations. I mean, I guess you heard about the whole like black box that they have inside now.
Yep.
That's cool.
Let's go black box.
Yeah, like 3 seconds before catastrophic cutout, five seconds after.
Okay.
Yeah, five after. I don't know why they just do five and five. I don't know the ins and outs of why, but like that's cool. I hope they use the information appropriately, right? Because like only they will have access in a sense. Yeah. And you have to upload the log report after, I guess, if your wheel turns on again. But I guess the black box must be irrespective of the control board somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you need to put a new board in to get it to turn on again, yeah, the black box is there. But that's really cool. But like I said, I'm worried that they might not do enough with it.
Yeah.
There's a lot you could do with that.
At least you get the information for the next wheel that you're going to end up designing.
Yeah. And it's like useful when, you know, everyone online, when they have a big crash,
mm-hmm.
and it like thrashed them, they're like, cut out.
So what happened?
Cut out.
Is it angle cut out? On me.
You're like,
did
what?
You overpower it? It was overheating.
10 miles an hour on your MCM5. What? How did it cut out? What were you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just standing there. I wasn't moving. Like, huh? So I think like that's killer for dealers because it'll be like,
yeah, great warranties.
Let's see the data. Oh, looks like you did not cut out. So like, oh, you slipped on a loose patch of gravel.
You just sucked at riding. That was your fault.
Yeah, it's like.
So my buddy's one wheel, his Pine, ended up, the motor just kept running. It didn't stop.
My V11 did that.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you remember that, but go ahead.
I don't remember that part. But yeah, he ended up messing his shoulder up really bad, like day two of having it. And then he's trying to get a little thing going on with it to figure if he can get some compensation for that. But we'll see what happens.
It's a death trap.
Go EUC, please. It's worth it.
Yeah. Well, we saw a guy on the street today when we were filming. a little bit of a nut job in a good way, I guess.
Special case. I like the guy.
Yeah, he was like riding a bike in traffic as we were like bombing through traffic on the unicycles. I was like, I gotta stop you. I gotta take a photo. Yeah. I have a blog. Blah 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 blah.
He had a party going on for himself. Was it a birth? You think it was his birthday today?
Maybe we didn't say happy birthday at all.
We didn't.
Sorry, buddy.
We didn't even know if it was his birthday.
We're like running through traffic and he like just like stopped us at a red light we happened to stop at and it was just like a weird off the cuff moment.
I'm late for a party for myself.
Yeah, he's like, I'm actually 2 hours late for a party that's for me. We were like,
cool.
Okay.
Ride safe.
Yeah. I'm sure he's a really cool dude. He seemed like it.
I was gonna offer to push him on my vehicle or push him with the wheel.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then at the same time I'd probably end up burning all the battery and not make it back.
I don't know what it says about a guy when he it could be good or bad. He knows just how on it he is, where he had to say, listen, I don't do coke. This is just me.
Yeah, right.
We're like, oh, okay.
Great.
So maybe he really doesn't. And he just knows he's just kind of...
just energetic and lively.
He's there. He said I think he hosts like open mic nights at comedy clubs, which I guess would make sense.
That's pretty rad. I like that.
You kind of have to be that guy who is not boring.
You have that sense of pizzazz.
Yeah, so... You know, it's super interesting that's the way it's going for him. Maybe he'll do it right up in his blog. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That'd be great.
So there's a lot of people that I know on the East Coast here, right? So I live here in New York.
Mm.
Then there's Cobra and his Massachusetts crew, people out there. They're having an event soon. But then, you know, you live in Vegas.
I'm going to try to go.
Yeah, let's come back to that. there's the Southern California people. There's probably some NorCal people. And then there's Seattle and Portland people. Mm-hmm. Then we got Chooch and his crew.
How many people ride with Chooch? Just like two or three?
Yeah, I think he's just by himself.
Chooch, come to Vegas.
Yeah, come visit anywhere, man.
Please, man.
Wherever.
I keep hitting you up on Instagram, but nothing back.
Chooch is the most liked, I think, EUC, like, YouTuber.
He's so happy. I like the guy. We'll see how he is in person.
He's got that really chill, like, Midwest demeanor.
Yes.
I don't know that he's from there originally, but he seems to, like, fit right in.
No idea, but he seems pretty rad.
Yeah. Chooch, we love you. anyways, so it's interesting to see, like, where the riders are popping up. Oh, yeah. Then now, like, the Miami crew has blown up. I'm not going to say it's because of me, but I want to say it's because of Rob, my buddy Rob down there. Like,
no idea.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, so Rob is like one of the coolest riders down there. And like when I went down and visited over the last summer,
okay. We
met up with some people and I kind of got to lay the land. It was all just like slow King Song stuff, right? And then like after I hung out down there and I, you know, we talked to them and we rode harder. Now. Yeah, now they all have like Shermans and Gotways and it's like the scene took a huge like leap. I mean, I did a profile on Rob. So he's a really good rider. He's a bit of a wild guy. I love it. He was building a Super Nikola, a couple of them. He was adding so much battery into it.
I always worry about it overheating, especially with extra battery.
Well, he wasn't, I guess. But when he came to New York, he like brought both. Mm-hmm. And his grand plan was to like store one in like a locker so that he did. So if ever he's like, oh, I'm running low battery, I'll just go swap them.
Yeah.
But I think he ended up not finding a locker, so he just kept it in the Bronx where he was staying, which is stupid because you got to go all the way back up there to get it.
Sounds like an extra step.
But yeah, the Sherman is a big hot item down there, so it's cool to see that all these little places are growing.
What do you want to see with the new Shermans? What if you could create your like own
their
Sherman?
Next so veterans next wheel?
I mean, not necessarily even veteran. What do you want to see if you were to upgrade the Sherman yourself?
Oh. Yeah, you know, for the longest time, I thought, and I don't know how much more of a difference it'll make, but those higher pedal hangers, I think I actually would consider now after riding the V12 as much as I have. At first, I was like, I don't need it. I'm just kind of chilling. I ride
street wheels.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I'm flying up 6th Avenue, but actually kind of think it would be fine.
It's like, so fun.
If I can do a 16-inch wheel as high as that guy is off the ground at pretty high speeds,
easy.
I could swap, you know, a little bit higher of a pedal hanger on that.
Yeah.
But we all would like to have a pedal hanger like the Sherman. So let's put it this way. I would like Sherman to come out with, or Veteran to come out with, even one that I can put on now or for their future wheels, an adjustable pedal hanger like InMotion.
Yeah, if they can do that.
That should be the standard for everybody from now on.
I would want to see the Sherman drop maybe like 200, or not even, just reshape the battery pack so it's not just a block. Because I think the most restricting point is because the roll bar is just a rectangle. I think that only exists because of the battery shape. If you stagger off the battery and then make it more of like a rhombus, that one would allow for more. So like you have the wheel here, and then you have a big block right here that gets in the way of curbs. If you bump into a curb, you're gonna end up destroying that lower portion of the bar. If you ended up creating that little edge, little 45, and then created if you created a roll bar that had more of a 45, that would allow it to be able to do more off-roading. You make a wheel that that's actually like wound for torque rather than just speed. That would be huge.
I mean, not to detract from that last bit.
And then also the pedal dip, sorry.
Yeah, but like I think the Sherman was a very, very hyper-specific wheel that nails what it's trying to be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think all the wheels in 2020 had an aesthetic issue, like a problem, right? Mm-hmm. It, to other people, looked like an off-road wheel. And even when we're blue in the face telling them this is not an off, this is a street wheel, they go,
definitely.
They would go, then why threw an off-road tire on it? You're like, I don't know, but it works, man. Like
it functions, though.
I think Jason always says, like, the most modded thing people do to their wheels is swap the tire with some kind of different tire. So that just goes to show you, like, tires mean nothing in the way of like what a wheel's supposed to be.
Yeah,
because you can just swap it and like do what you got to. But anyways,
it needs torque.
I would say torque, their next tuning iteration, they could. This is their high speed Land Cruiser, right? So like, you know, it's if great. They're gonna, this, is, their, this is like their Corvette, right? Mm-hmm. Despite it looking like a tank, like I said, the aesthetic issue is a problem, but
more of a missile,
I guess. I don't know. It looks like a tank to me.
If it handled better, then I would call it a Corvette.
I don't have the problem with the handling because, like I said, because of the way it's designed.
Yeah, yeah, for the turning.
Yeah, like so, if they made a smaller, less battery wheel, an 18 with less, like. I don't think we need more than 1,800 watt hours. Like maybe 2,000.
2,000. 2,000 would be happy.
We'll call it 2K.
I like the flat name, the flat number.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a battery expert. I don't know. Can you do 2K flat?
That's something I have no idea about.
Yeah. I forget exactly how that works. It's like multiples of whatever. But anyways, so like 2K watt hours would be good because that'll cut back on the weight.
Yeah.
Then they can raise the whole shell up, give us a bit more space underneath, and then give us those adjustability in that as well.
Yeah.
That would be killer. And dear God, the Sherman, remember when they had the screen, everybody's like, whoa,
that's
technology. Well, now because the V12 exists, I'm like, that's awful. This Sherman screen is disgusting. That's a
cute screen.
I hate that I can't see my top speed. I love that about the V12. If I'm ever
being able to,
I don't really know how, like, if you'll, think about this. You're trying to record your top speed. You forget to turn your app on or it disconnects from your wheel or whatever. Mm-hmm. In the past, it was like, crap, I got to do the speed run again because I don't know how fast I was going. The V12 remembers it.
Yeah.
And you see it right there like, oh, I did 65 kilometers an hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like the Sherman needs to integrate something. If there are some people who think like, okay, the touchscreen is going to be damaged much quicker than the Sherman screen, fine. But give me some functionality that's like closer to the V12, remember things. Like it's really dumb and old.
Yeah.
That screen.
It's there. That's what's nice.
Lighter weight, less battery, higher / adjustable pedal hangers. That's what I'd like to see out of that. I think they could give us, you might have to mod the shell. So I don't know if they can give us adjustable right now. I think you'd have to cut the shell maybe. Mm. That's the issue. So like one of the issues Jason and I talk about all the time at eWheels is like, every company now is like, they always make their shells specific to the tire they think they're going to put on it, which is frustrating, right? Mm-hmm. So like the V12, we are now have kind of learned it's not the greatest off-road wheel, but for like a mild off-roader, it could be killer.
Yeah.
Someone who's not like pushing that hard, but you can't fit a knobby on that thing.
Nope.
Like
it's too skinny.
Jason was like, what the heck? Why do they keep doing this? Like it looks like it should fit one. And if he thought about it, that means 80 other customers are going to think about it, you know, so it's
definitely
like
a slimmer profile,
but every company needs to give us more space.
Yeah. They've had the track record though. I mean, eventually they're going to start realizing that 3 inch is awesome in terms of that space and width. If companies in the future could really accommodate that little bit of extra space for the knobbies, awesome.
I think MSPs and MSXs, people have to like,
you have to trim,
cut the shell or something,
or not? You're not cut the shell. You cut the knobs on the tires on the outers. You take either a kitchen knife, which is kind of scary. I think just taking like some wire nippers. I think you'd be able to get away with that if you use large enough ones. You just have to trim the edge just so it fits inside the shell without rubbing constantly. That with the RS, you usually have to do that with. I had to do that with the 244. That one you had to chop the knobs a little bit, but it was worth it in the end for an off-road specific wheel. For an all-around wheel, I would never think of putting an off-road tire on it.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess the Sherman, is it a Shinko? Is that what it actually is? The tire?
Shinko 262. Yeah.
Yeah. So with the Shinko tire, I don't know why. It like just works. I love the sound of it, especially on that.
Knobbies sound fun.
Like, but I'm saying on the street, like I would never, this is just my personal opinion. I would never want like the street version. Like I think Kuji tried it or whatever and it was a bad day.
I think the biggest issue is the pedal clearance.
Yes. So that's the design was like, they clearly thought about every aspect to almost in a bad way. Like they want this thing to be exactly this specific thing.
They shaped it around the tire.
Yeah.
And what the tire and speed, I guess.
Yeah. So I think he unseated the regular street tire on his.
But then again, I think he was riding it maybe sub 20 PSI.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's another thing. Keep your PSI high. Don't get hurt.
Yeah, please stop with that. I always tell people ask me, like, what's the lowest? 30.
I wouldn't say 30 is the lowest. I would do 25 is the lowest for certain portions of the way you're riding. Like, if you're doing, like, a small indoor track without like jumping or anything than 25, 27. It'll be gummy enough to get traction.
For me, I say 30, especially in New York City. A lot of the people who watch are in metropolitan areas, whether it's in like Toronto or New York or LA. So, or London, I'm like, don't go below 30. Just be safe.
That's for actual like regular riding. Yeah. 30. What I was talking about with the 25 is more so like if it's just a flat like track and you know that you're not going to deal with any bumps or anything that's going to potentially damage the rim.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Route 66.
Exactly. Standard riding. Always, for me, I personally go 40 on almost every wheel.
Ooh.
I like the extra PSI and I like that bit of safety for me hopping around and doing everything.
For sure on the Sherman tire, it's like...
Sherman tire, I run at 40.
You're crazy. See, I run at 35 and people think I'm a nut job.
No, that's perfectly
fine.
I'm
like, 35 is fine.
That's out here.
It's bouncy, right? And they're like, but 40? Now, Tarzan... arguably is also a little out there, but he was running the day he had his massive crash. He was running his at 60 PSI.
Oh God.
I think you might say, why would he do that? Great question. But so this is a bouncy wheel and like doing that is just a bad day. Oh, and he had the street tire on. So yeah. 60 on the street tire. Like that thing flew up like a over waist high and it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that extra bit of safety. I don't want to bounce too much. 45 is where it starts to feel questionable for me. Say if I'm using like an RS or something.
Sure.
But 40 is my happy place. That's what I'm seeing. I like that extra bit of nimbleness and really like dialed in turning.
I will say, I think the V12, for better or for worse, has leveled up my riding style in the sense that like when we were riding, I was on my Sherman earlier today, like, I killed a lot more battery than I usually do riding around. I was like getting wild.
I fucking wreck battery now.
Yeah. It's, most people this doesn't affect. Like I said, the audience of people that I talk to and like try to make content for, I think I'm very good at like understanding who they are and how they ride.
Mm.
So like most of those people never have to worry at the extent that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more aggressive you become as a rider, you should, for what it's worth. It makes life more fun and safe in some respects. Then you're going to start noticing some of those downfalls. Like, oh man, I really blow through battery faster than I used to. So those are things, but I think I have a good grasp on like what people... Anyways, the point is most people aren't going to have to worry about that too much.
Yeah, that's another thing with like gaining skill faster. That's another reason I end up encouraging people to do the higher PSI because you're forced to know those little details within your movements to cover up those mistakes that you, or to cover up the, or pretty much higher pressure shows your flaws better than lower pressure would. And then bring your tire down back to lower pressure after you know what you're doing. And then you'll feel like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
There was a guy here, who just got a Nikola. He just started riding a few months ago and he was asking me a lot of questions and stuff. And, we met up and I showed him some things and he was on an M Super V3.
Okay.
So when I hopped on it, I'm like, well, let me hop on your wheel and see what ride mode you're at, whatever. I get on it and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? He was at like 20 PSI.
Oh no.
And I was like, dude, you can't, you live in Brooklyn. Stop this. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, first of all, like, you don't know what your wheel really feels like because it's like
mushy. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm like, $100 says when I fill your tire up right now to like 30, you won't be able to ride it home. I was right.
Mm-hmm.
He got on that thing and he was like, oh, it doesn't really function. I like the other one better. No, like, no, you're not going back to 20. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like, that makes sense. Like he basically couldn't figure out how to ride.
Yeah, it's going to be a little squirrely.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So do you think that Sherman will come out with a 16 or 14? Where do you? Because the rumor is they're going to go small. I mean, I
don't want to see them put out a 14. I think that's a waste of time.
No.
For what they can do.
No.
Unless if they're making...
A 1400-volt wheel that can go like 30?
That would be kind of cute. If they made like an Ultimate MCM... Ultimate MCM5... That would be beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would want to see that. And then I would want to see a better Sherman.
That's tough.
Not kill a Sherman, but make a prime, like off-road specific wheel. That would be great.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, if they do an 18 with less battery, it could go in that direction.
Yeah, have a little. I think 1800's already. That's enough. It's still an all-around wheel, but you can still rip it off-road.
It's so interesting too. Like, you know, the comments have been flooding in from all these videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting that like people who I know them, I've talked to them online, who a few months ago thought, or I guess now it's like more the closer to a year, but like thought when the Sherman debuted their 3200 or whatever it is, they were like floored, and now their comments are so trolly. They're like, oh, this V12 is missing 3000 watt hours. I'm like, what, bro? You didn't even know that was possible six months ago. What are you talking about? Anyways, the point is like, not everything has to have the most amount of battery.
You don't need cap.
It depends. Like I said, like the MSP, I love MSP because it's so light. It's one of the best wheels ever made.
Mm-hmm.
If not it, that doesn't take away from my baby, my Sherman. Yeah. But I'm just saying it's so great. And like, I can't imagine that being like 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hate to have an MSP that was 20 pounds heavier. Like I'm excited for my EXN coming in, but at the same time,
well, that's kind of that.
It is, but I'm not going to use it for that. I'm using it more so as like a street, like cruising.
Like a Sherman.
Exactly. But it's, same cause as a Sherman.
Yeah. So I think I said in my review, like if you're thinking about a Sherman, but you just want that Gateway feel, EXN is it. But be careful, buddy. That battery.
I know. I'm going to drain the hell out of it.
Dude, I was like, I had to come home early. I've never had to do that. I was like, I'm not going to make the rest of this ride. It's not happening.
Because you can get so much out of it.
It's fun. Listen, if I was getting a lot out of it, I can't imagine what you would get out of it.
Just watch.
Like, you're going to be like, you'll take one straight line off, and you're like, okay, guys, that's it. I'm spent.
All right, I'll see you guys.
10% battery already.
Quick drag race, done.
Yeah, so it's
only has one charge port.
Oh, but you can get one of those things I have somewhere around here.
Splitter. Yeah, that'd be nice. That's one of the reasons I love the RS so much, because you don't have to cry as much if you're doing like long distance ride and you need to top off real quick.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you get like the fast charger from eWheels, it can do like 8 amps, I think.
It's scary, but I'm for it.
I mean, if it's rated for it, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like the V12, they're telling us it can do 10 amps.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear what you're saying. I probably would never do 10 amps on that thing. Yeah. I think like the 8 that the fast charger offers is enough. Mm-hmm. But that's cool, you know?
Yeah, I like that bit of safety.
Yeah, that's right? We always like a little bit of ceiling.
Yeah.
That's cool about the V12 too, because, all right, so I forget what it is, but it's 98 kilometers is 60, the lift test.
61 miles per hour.
Right, so if we go by a lot of guys go by the 10 mile per hour rule ceiling. Yeah. Some go by 12.
I go a little lower. So usually I don't push wheels nearly as hard as everybody else in that manner because I like to punch while I'm at high speed sometimes, which is stupid. But what happens is...
You can do it on the Sherman.
I can, but I worry about it because I'm scared of overpowering it or overpowering the motor because I over-torque it a decent amount whenever I'm playing with my buddies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with that one... RS, I've seen people push it to 45 plus. I'll only push it to 40. Like once I find everybody's like general ceiling, I'll take it 5 under or so.
Right.
Because I don't want to get hurt for something stupid.
So if it's 61, you know, we're talking about 51. And if we go two more, because I think that's like 49 is like, that's theoretical top speed on the V12.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great knowing that its top speed is 43.
Yeah.
Which if we're honest, like cruising on that beast, like you can cruise comfortably from 35 to 38. But after that, you know, tiltback starts at 40 when you have full battery.
Right.
So like holding 40, I haven't tried it, you know, like, but that's hard. Think you could do it. But, like, who wants to hold 40 on a 16-inch wheel?
It's not worth it.
It's just great that they have the ceiling to where if you need to, like I said, on my Nikola, I would, like, tap 40 once in a while. It's good to have. But I'm not holding it.
Exactly. It's good to have, but at the same time, you want to have it for those oh shit situations.
I think you actually could probably, like, we just talked about the ceiling, right? So I think that means that you could hold 40 for a while, but you might want to just cool enough, like, on your screen down below, like, do it to do like max power draw or whatever, so you can kind of see what it's pulling, or at least you can see your voltage too. So you can see, you know, you don't want to have a drop between below, I don't know, like 84 volts or something like that.
Yeah, you want to figure out where you want it to yell at you.
Yeah. So you could like look and see, but who knows? I mean, look, their safety is off the charts. So like you have a tilt back. So if you're just holding 40, in theory, like, well, probably real life too, you could hold the 40, and then when it's the wheel knows there's a problem, your tilt back will probably start coming on a lot sooner. So that's kind of the like super like, I'm curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah,
you know, like how the people in the community, like how they push it and how long and far and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like the biggest thing, I just want to see some kind of DIY tuning application that you can just flash your own wheels and really just make your wheel better for what it is. I don't see our companies creating like that freedom.
Mess with the acceleration curve and stuff.
I
think it's just so dialed in. Like that wheel probably would be, okay, my projection here is in order for that to work, they have to create a wheel that is sort of like sucky at everything unless you tune it in a really good way yourself, right? Because it has to be able to handle a certain amount of things you throw at it.
I think the most optimal setup is get a Gateway and get the power of what InMotion's doing to be able to tune it yourself.
This is what we said. We've never seen a wheel like this. I'm hopeful and confident it'll change other manufacturers like Gateway and Kingsong and maybe Veteran to like embrace that.
For sure.
Like customization is king right now. That's this year's, I think that's this year's thing. Suspension was last year.
Yeah.
I think this year, we haven't seen the Kingsong yet. Maybe it's out by the time we do this, but I think there'll be some interesting customization on that. They're all, you know, Shenzhen. They're all like sharing stuff and like talking about it.
I want to go visit there. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I want to go visit and like hang out with like Afiz and go to the factory and then like ride around and stuff like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I want to meet the test riders. I want to meet the engineers.
There's no test riders.
That's true.
You've met them. Us and all of New York City.
I want to see the Kingsong guys.
Tina at Kingsong is killer. She's
really,
she's a badass. Like that's the reason why Kingsong is doing so well. I think she's the reason. She's not a test rider, but I think that she's like a really good manager of that company. Yeah. Okay. She's, and you know, quality wise, I think Kingsong is the best quality wheels, closely followed by InMotion. But InMotion has a bigger market share.
Yeah, I can see that.
They just have more mass appeal, maybe because early on they had the whole solo wheel, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
But I think Kingsong makes, I think according to Jason and some other people, the QC is much a better percentage with Kingsong every year compared to InMotion. But yeah, these companies, they got a lot of cool stuff hopefully up their sleeves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's like an engineer who like rides around the parking lot with at all these companies. I don't know. We'll see. You've seen the videos of like Mr. Lin at Gateway riding, right? He's just like cruising near the beach or where, I don't know where the heck he is.
They're hanging.
Yeah, you're like, you're gearless cruising. This guy would never like, and they're always getting that like EUC champion guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that Chinese dude who's like the champion EUC guy of China. He's like a good rider. They're like, they give it to him now. But like, even then, I wonder like how, if they're not, they might be paying him, you know? So maybe he's like, well, I'll kind of chest it.
Yeah, right. I want to see what happens if they get to know more riders in the U.S. And then if they're able to really get to know us and reach out to the specific riders that are willing to push it and willing to give that the actual feedback and have something that could be worked on from that feedback. That'd be nice.
It's a bit scary no matter who you are to be the test rider, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because
you can cut out and eat shit and die.
Yeah. I mean, like I was just imagining when you said that, like I would be someone they might reach out to for more speed stuff which is a little bit more ridiculous than maybe they reached out to you for like more like...
I'd gladly do torque tests.
Yeah, exactly. But like how fast are you really going when you're doing that?
That's why I love that safety.
So you would like go, oh, I fell at like 20 maybe.
That's why I love off-roading. That's why I love technical riding.
Because last thing, like Mickey took on the role of test riding Gateway wheels for Gateway and died at 65 miles an hour.
Yeah,
right. Like,
yeah, with that, you gotta seriously gear up.
They need to figure out a device, right? There's got to be a device they can get as close to humanly.
Look, to test it out?
Yeah. So surely, okay, if cars have devices where they can test things in boats, mm-hmm. like they can figure this out where people always go, well, you know, you got to get body weight on there to do a certain thing and lean over. Like your gut hangs over. Okay. That seems solvable. Put it on some rolling pins that's situated, yeah. right?
There's a couple of guys
but
who
then,
do that.
But then people are like, well, what about wind resistance? Okay, they have wind tunnels.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't understand, like, at this point why we can't just... If nobody wants to test it at Gateway or wherever,
yeah,
figure that out. And then, like, I don't know, like, make it built into your cost and work it out.
I think the best way to test it would be, like, factory floor, something just slick. So then if you fall...
Like out
just,
here.
Exactly. You'd be just sliding and not have to worry so much.
That's when I busted my MCM5. It was right out here.
Yeah.
It's just like... I just hard braked and then...
Yeah.
I was like, ow.
At least when you go down, it's... Yes, it's hard, but at the same time, you'll slide.
Yeah, it's not like the asphalt.
Yeah.
You're just tearing you up. Falling
on sandpaper.
Ugh. It's worse than that, really.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be cool if they did that. I mean, it's like I said, it's different than like cars. So, okay, so that's a great example. They put test dummies in the cars and throw them into walls.
Yes.
And then they roll them, put them through sand and roll them.
It's so hard to do with EUC because you know it's going to get destroyed so quick.
Yeah, but like the whole point is like so that we survive.
Right, but at the same time, you're not mounted on it. How do they test motorcycles?
Probably similar to cars. There's two wheels, so probably similar to cars maybe. I don't know. It's a good question.
Let's look it up later.
Comments.
Yeah, right.
This is how they test them.
People who test motorcycles, please comment below.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. But yeah, I mean, surely they can figure that out. They just don't want to. That's the thing.
Yeah, I get it.
Like we were talking about earlier, like since we busted the rim on the V12, like I was like, so do they make denser aluminum? Like or like
I don't think
what?
It'll happen.
They could just use better metal to some degree.
Or just a little bit more metal. That's it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But they don't see the ROI or the return on investment for doing that because maybe InMotion will after I share with them like...
What happened?
Here's what today was like.
Yeah. I mean, you just... If anybody creates an off-road specific wheel, just harder metal, something more durable.
Figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you look at all the like the serious bicycles.
I mean, like...
What are bicycle companies using? For their wheels.
On the other side of that, I guess it would just be like we talked about, like a bigger tire keeps it further away from when the compression happens. So maybe it's less about the metal and more about like
tire size.
Yeah. I mean, like think about like a monster truck, right?
Yeah.
The compound of that tire is crazy. Plus it's huge. I don't know how many monster trucks are bending rims, but probably not that many.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
yeah, that's another reason why 18 inch rims shine. Just because they're good for almost everything.
A lot of people online were writing that about the V12. It was like, why'd they create a 16? Trust me, guys, I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's fun, man. Like, not every wheel is going to be an 18, but we all agree that, like, a 16 is always going to come short. It's going to fall short compared to an 18 or a 20 or something.
Yeah. I'm excited. I want somebody to create that little window between the 22 and the 18.
Well, the Sherman is that.
No, it's not. It's an 18.
They're calling it a 20.
Yeah, but it's an 18 rim.
I don't know. This gets complicated because
it's
like...
Same tire, because you can throw the Sherman tire and then throw it onto an RS.
Really?
Yeah. It's the same exact rim.
Hmm. Well, it's not that I'm stupid, guys. It's that...
It turns into like...
I don't care.
They buff it. They buff it so they can brag about the higher number.
No, that's true. Like, I mean, this is what the whole controversy is, right? Is like, technically, a 16-inch... unicycle isn't really 16.
Yeah.
It's like, do you go by the inner or the outer? Right. Yeah. Exactly. So there was an e-bike company here in the Navy Yard and they were like, oh yeah, this is a 16 inch tire. And I was like, that looks huge. What do you mean it's a 16? Yeah. And then I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Technically these 16s that I'm riding aren't 16.
Yeah. Round it down.
Yeah. It's like 14 or something.
Yeah.
So the RS isn't a true 18 then.
I mean, it's closer than it is. I mean, yeah, that it's not. It's a bragging. 16. Yeah, it's not claiming to be a 20 though.
But it's doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's two
across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that.
Because they're going by the outer.
It's that outer tire diameter that they're pretty much taking and then just considering as.
The whole tire, with the Sherman thing, the Sherman tire gets weird, right? Because, like, mm-hmm. are they counting the knobs?
Yeah.
So, like.
They're counting the knobs. So it turns into 19 and a half, and then why not round up and make it a 20?
Ugh. Yep. The rounding in this community or it's this the especially business. Especially
with batteries.
Yes. It's so ridiculous. InMotion's very guilty of that too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they weren't just telling everybody that the V12 came with an 1800.
Yeah.
It's close enough. They've done bigger rounding before. Like, I think mm-hmm. on the V11, when I learned the actual, I was like, huh? Why didn't you just say the actual? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, it's not a nice number to say. I'm like, so? This is a nerd community. I mean, it will grow beyond that eventually.
For sure.
But it's like, those guys, the first comment out of their mouth is, well, it's not an actual 1800.
Actually.
I mean, look who you're catering to right now. just say what it is. Yeah, but yeah, sure. It's kind of weird.
Mm.
But I was going to say that this year, I'm excited to see what comes out. Sherman or veteran might surprise us. They might come up with something really killer.
That'll be nice.
So we'll see. Do you think Gotway will have another wheel this year? I hope not. They did 5 last year.
I think they will.
What?
But it's Gotway.
I guess
they're constantly pumping reiterations of each wheel, maybe just new versions of each.
Okay, so like the T3 is a joke of a iteration.
Stupid. They're wasting their time. What I want to see is an EXN torque, or pretty much the EX inside an EXN EXN shell.
Wait.
I want a
EX in the EXN shell is
I want a 3,500 watt motor in an EXN.
Okay, so that's a better way to
put that's it. I want torque.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, so an EXN T.
I want to be able to not overpower the EXN.
We'll just call it the EXIT.
EXN.
The exit.
Yeah.
Because you'll be out.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. But yeah. Again, usually Gotway puts 1 to 2 wheels out. They did 5 last year.
That's true.
So this is why I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that they'll do it.
I hope they work on quality control this year, if anything. But again,
for me, bear down on that.
Yeah. But if you guys want to make a new wheel, make an EXN torque version.
They don't listen. They don't see this.
That'd be nice.
I'm a nobody to them.
I can dream.
No, for real though. I mean, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. 16X 100 volt.
Well, we have that.
V12. But if they tried harder, then that'd be cool.
I don't know. I like the 16X.
It's a good wheel.
Well, I was going to say.
It's limited.
If they did a 16X 100 volt, in order to not look like they're just copying the V12, it wouldn't be a 16X revision. It would have a completely different naming structure and like a whole design different. They would go a whole different way to where we wouldn't realize it was like a revamp of a 16X.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they just look like they're like, yeah, that was cool. Right. We'll do that. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you guys in the comment section want a forecast as well, let us know. This is becoming the forecast podcast, I guess. Yeah. It's okay.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having some other guests on the show. Maybe you've already heard them. Maybe they're coming after this, but they'll be talking a little bit more in depth about battery technology. So that's going to be pretty cool. A lot of people here in this community want hot swappable batteries.
I don't know about that.
Or just swappable in general. I think I get the desire. I just don't see how it'll work with the way like these things are structured.
Especially with it being 2 packs.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a little like just drop in on the outsides.
Yeah, they would have to, I guess.
They'd have to like cone over the whole thing.
Well, they have to get one of those, I guess it would be like a flat with a little pin sticking up like thing to where it locks into like maybe your battery for your camera.
Yeah.
Right? Like something like that that's on the inner shell.
I'm just worried.
That's the only way. But then like
dropping it in water.
Yeah, it might protect it though because.
Yeah, if they had serious BMS onto it, that would be great.
No, but like, okay, so imagine like, you know what the V12 battery enclosure looks like, right?
Yes.
So imagine that where on the inside of it or the backside or whatever, it's got these like metal thingies here. potentially that could be like water. Like if you sprayed water on that, it did nothing. Maybe it needs to, I don't know. We'll see. But so that, again, touching the other side of that and then locking into place, that would be rad. But that way there's no wires needed. Mm-hmm. But you then would have to make a really simplistic, maybe close to like the Nikola, is for like just 6 or 8, whatever it is, hex screws to get the shell off. That's like the only way.
That'd be nice.
The whole thing would have to be considering this hot swap thing. Well, it can't be hot, actually. It's a cold swap. You can't be riding it to do it. So cold swap battery situation. That'd be cool.
Yeah. With that, I like having the plug. I think the plug is easier and it's less of a potential mess up.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Just
give us like an XT90.
Yeah, because like flaunt, people always want to travel with their wheels.
Yeah.
Like imagine, I mean, you kind of can do it now. It's just a pain in the butt. Imagine if you could just quickly pop that shell off, unseat that battery, ship that to wherever you're going, and then just, you know, bring your somehow.
Ship it separate.
Yeah, or like bring your naked wheel onto the plane somehow.
Have fun with TSA and explain that it's not a bomb.
Look, there's no battery. That's why it's not a bomb.
It's not a bomb, I swear.
They give you a hard time when you're coming here with the...
They were giving me sass with little pieces of foam.
Yeah.
There's that, and then my pedal spikes, the little carpet mat.
Oh, yeah, that looks like a...
He was looking at it, he was like, bludgeoning, this is kind of hard.
That's what he said.
He's like, this is kind of stiff. I don't know. You can try to hurt somebody with this. I'm like, no, it's literally just pieces of carpet mat and grip tape that I use to mount on unicycles.
Yeah. I mean, that guy probably went home to his wife and was like, yo, the weirdest thing today.
This guy, and he was frustrated because it was really hard for him to pack his stuff, and then he had to repack it. So then he had to pull it off to the side. I don't mind it. I get it. You go into TSA, you have to understand that you're going to be unpacking and repacking if you have anything that's questionable.
Did you have a checked bag?
Or just carry on? I always travel with like just carry on. Yeah, carry on personal item. That personal item becomes another backpack.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something to consider on the flight. Was like some places now like aren't allowing a checked bag. It's like,
yeah,
you have to pay or extra. Not allowing extra. A carry-on.
Yeah, you have to pay extra for the carry-on. It's ridiculous.
You're like, what? Like online, it was like carry-on X. Wait, what do you mean X? What is this?
Yeah, it's nuts.
How about dollar sign? Right, that would make more sense.
Yeah, I think Spirit's been doing that consistently, where they're charging all the extra. It's a cheap flight, but then you have all the add-ons, which make it a normal flight.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Was your flight nice coming?
Yeah, it was fine. No issues.
Good.
Oh, that was cool.
Right on. Yeah. Well, I think we've done the typical 2 hour.
Okay. We could keep going, but let's relax and let everybody breathe.
Yeah. And we'll do a ride maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you again for watching, guys.
Thank you.
As always, continue to watch the YouTube channel, subscribe.
Yeah, do the good things.
Follow this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever your podcast platform of choice is.
Yeah.
And
if you want to see my stuff, just follow Relaxturbation on Instagram. Eventually, I'll get a YouTube. I just need to not be lazy. If you want holsters, ldwest.com/law.
There you go. Rad. He's sponsored by LDWest.
Yeah, right. It's pretty cool.
It's dope. I was like, I think last time you were here, you were like, oh, I wish they'd sponsor me. I had the
brown ones. Yeah, right? It's a thing now.
Yeah. And now you're like, so New York, it blends in.
No, it's nice. And then, yeah, I still swap out with the brown ones every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. When you're feeling country western?
Exactly. Yeah. If I'm feeling a little extra rootin' tootin'.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So follow Law on all his platforms. I'm told he's going to be TikToking soon.
Oh, and God,
he'll be
I'm
bypassing all the other EUC TikTokers.
I refuse to use TikTok, so you don't have to worry about that one.
We'll do a duet.
Follow the Instagram.
I don't know what that means.
Right. I don't know. That'd be fun. EUC duet. We need to see more bands on EUC. My buddy was mentioning it before. His buddy Matt. He wanted to play guitar. He wanted to have someone play on drums and then just someone on a keyboard just cruising on a EUC, just playing.
I was in a music video.
Yeah?
Yeah, where it was me and Tashawn and some other people. We were like riding for, so I forget the name of the band. They were pretty popular, like sort of hipstery band, but we were in the background. We weren't playing the instruments. We were just behind them.
I want to see OK Go do something like that.
These people had a similar feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps it up. Follow Law on all the social medias, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
You guys have a good one. Thanks.